Warning, the following contains mature language, spoilers, and opinions. If you don't like it, fuck you, we ain't changing.
It really hasn't gotten better. I mean, they've kind of canceled the space program.
Yeah, right.
That's usually a sign. Hey all you cats and kittens out there in Radio Land, this is I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside with Jive and Jams to keep you going all through the night. With me today are some very hep cats. Introduce yourselves.
No.
Is this the 50s edition? What the hell was that?
I couldn't think of a tagline, so I just went to my late night jazz radio voice.
To his I Want to Get Women in the Bed voice.
Okay. Well, if you couldn't recognize the voice, I'm Jeff, a.k.a. Jetman025.
And I'm Sam.
And we're here tonight to have a very serious debate. But first, pick of the week. Who wants to go first?
I will, because nobody will care about my pick of the week. I'm playing Rune Factory 3, and it's awesome. And I get to turn into a sheep man. Has anyone played Rune Factory? No?
No. Farming is for NPCs.
Now, what did I just say about the obscure picks?
Okay. Rune Factory is a spin-off of Harvest Moon, and it's an action RPG where you get to be a little farmer who has amnesia, and you're trying to find your memories. And in this particular installment, for some reason, they decided that the main character should be able to turn into a sheep man. So it's kind of random. But they've fixed everything that I hated about Rune Factory 2 and have made it super awesome, and they've streamlined the combat, and the farming is really fast-paced, which is so nice. So it's overall, like, really fun for the 3 hours I've played. I quite like it. Now people can ignore my love of farming and talk about something more interesting with air quotes. Nobody likes my farming, that's why I'm not going to talk about it for very long.
You just spent, you know, all that time talking about an RPG farming game about a sheep man.
Yes. Ultimate sheep man.
I also have a video game. Mine is more mainstream, i.e. people have actually heard what the hell I'm talking about. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Game recently came out. I've always been a racing game fan, but truthfully, Need for Speed games have, you know, one Need for Speed game is just like the last Need for Speed game. There's not a whole lot different. The Hot Pursuit game is a whole lot different. It makes the racing a lot more fun, gives you a lot more challenges. Of course, you got the Hot Pursuit where you can play the racer or the cop. And they got this really neat system called the Speed Wall where if one of your friends who's playing the game happens to beat your time, it sends you a message and says, you know, so-and-so just beat your time by 6 seconds. So you're like, SOB, now I got to go back and beat his time.
That sounds fun.
It is. And just today, someone beat my time. And I really love sticking it to him because he beat my time by 0.6 seconds. So I went back and beat his time by a minute and 30 seconds. I finished it in 17 seconds. Eat that.
I wouldn't want to race against you, Jeff. You sound too hardcore.
I know. If Soul Bro is hardcore about Street Fighter, I'm hardcore about the racing games.
I just like Mario Kart.
Mario Kart is communism.
I will whoop your butt on Mario Kart.
No, you won't, because it only gives good power-ups to the guy in last place.
That's why you get really far ahead, and that way when you get hit by that giant blue turtle shell, it doesn't destroy your entire chances of winning.
He has a point, Scott.
That is damn right true. I do.
I'm just severely annoyed with the fact that my 8-year-old cousin, who has no clue what he's doing, can beat me at Mario Kart just because he keeps getting to spam the bullet bill thing.
Oh, Matthew, yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew's also a sore winner. That's all.
I'm going to get your Wii friend code.
We don't have one, actually. And there's actually a good story behind why we don't have one, Scott.
Yes. About 17 months ago, I made a bet with Sam saying, hey, I bet you'll buy a Wii by December of next year. And she's now not bought a Wii for that long, just to spite me.
Really?
Yes.
My mother bought a Wii for herself this Christmas, and you won't buy one just to win a bet?
Yep.
This is the first time in my life I contacted my mom and asked, well, what do you want for Christmas? She said, well, I just bought me a Wii. Can you get me a game? Like, wait, what? I have to buy my mom a video game? What the hell is going on?
Well, funny enough, my dad, who isn't really a gamer, actually asked me, goes, I was thinking of buying you a Wii for Christmas, and I said, Dad, can you wait till, like, January 1st? And he goes, why? I'm like, so that way I can win my bet. And he goes, we'll see. But see, the problem now is there's two Wii games I actually really want. Kirby's Epic Yarn and Donkey Kong Country Returns. Like, those were two of my, like, favorite franchises as a child. And it's like, oh, I hate you, Nintendo. You brought both of them back. And it's like, I want to play both, especially Kirby. Like, I'm one of the biggest Kirby nuts ever.
Kirby was, I'll buy Donkey Kong Country just because I love the old Donkey Kong Country.
No, I do too. Donkey Kong Country
game was, you know, that game started out real easy, but by the end of the game, you were cursing that game. That got so difficult near the end.
Yeah.
Rare was really good at sort of plotting a difficulty curve, and I'm sort of sad that the company's fallen by the wayside, as it were.
And now it's mostly making Kinect games?
Yeah. Like, the last Banjo-Kazooie did not do well for them.
Actually, Jeff, would you know this? Did they put Donkey Kong Country 1 through 3 on Virtual Console?
I think they put 1 on. I don't know about 2 or 3.
I loved all 3 of them. I thought all 3 games were awesome.
Donkey Kong has not aged well. Like, the look of it.
It was amazing for when it came out, though.
Yeah.
A lot of video games don't age well.
There's some that back, do.
I don't know. Like, the other day I downloaded Double Dribble for my Wii. I remember playing Double Dribble back in the day on my old Nintendo. That ought to be fun for a time. And I played it. I was like, man, this really does suck. Back in the day, this was so much fun. But now it really sucks.
It's true. There's some games that just, they age so poorly, and you're just kind of like, ooh, I liked this? Really? Not much you can do about it, right? It's not like everyone's going out and making upgraded ports. Oh, wait, GoldenEye. Stupid GoldenEye. I still think that my game is amazing, though, on the 64.
It's not a good game.
No. See, you don't play it the way I do, which is slaps only.
No, melee only is never a good choice in a shooter.
Oh, we were having, like, a friend of mine and I, we were having a blast doing that. That between that and the knife fight we always had, which was pretty awesome. It's like, are you going to actually kill me? No, probably not. I'm just going to keep stabbing you with the knife and hoping that something will happen.
And my pick of the week is going to go to Desert Bus. And if this charity event is still going on by the time this episode drops, I feel sorry for them. Because that means they've been driving that bus for 2.5 weeks.
Explain this to me, Scott. I've seen you tweeting about this whole week. What the hell is Desert Bus?
Desert Bus is a charity event run by the Loading Ready Run guys. And what they do is they play an unreleased Penn & Teller video game, which had a bunch of different little mini games on it, one of which is where you drive a bus from Tucson to Las Vegas real time. The bus only goes 44 miles an hour and pulls to the right a bit. So you can't just tape it down and watch the scenery go by. This is a game that never came out. And they play it for charity. Like, the more money you donate, the longer they have to play.
That sounds cruel and unusual.
And while this is going on, the chat room can issue challenges to the people in the room. And that's really why I'm giving the shout out. It's like, they've managed to raise $100,000 as of recording for Child's Play. But what makes it great is that anytime you're bored, you can just go, I'm going to check what's going on Desert Bus. And you'll go to the video feed, and you'll see 4 guys on a couch with shoes balanced on their head, and they'll be answering questions about, I don't know, Magic the Gathering, or debating what song request they should take next.
Now, I do love the Child's Play charity, but that is just wrong on every level. I mean, torturing these poor bastards, playing this... I can't believe someone actually thought that would be a good game. Actually have to drive real-time in a friggin' bus from city to city, despite the fact that you're not going anywhere.
It also came out on the Sega CD, so you know that's a great indicator of quality.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
I kind of find it cruel and unusual, too. So, you know, I'm with you, Jeff. I did Extra Life this year, and that nearly killed me. But I feel sorry for these guys. Like, what I did looked pathetic compared to what they've been doing.
All I do is I just go to the Child's Play Amazon page and buy my local children's hospital a video game or two. That's all I do. I don't torture people while I do it.
It's true.
But they also give away prizes for donating.
I like prizes. I also like Sanity more, though.
Yeah, so I was gonna say,
they auction off things, and they have call-ins from relatively famous people.
Scott, I was really curious as to what Desert Bus was, but now that I've heard about it, I'm kind of wishing I didn't know.
You should look at the video feed sometime. There will be something entertaining going on.
Or something disturbing.
Or both.
Okay, so let's launch into our main topic, which is a very important and relevant debate for our times, which is, does new anime suck?
Yes.
No. That was an easy debate, wasn't it?
Scott, I think the podcast is already over.
All right, would either of you like to elaborate those statements?
Okay, I'll elaborate. I'm going to say that it doesn't suck in the facet that in modern day anime, we get to see every little show that comes out. People are subbing and sending out, you know, fan subs of ladies versus butlers, for God's sakes. And every little show that Japan makes it over to these shores. 10, 15 years ago, that didn't happen. You know, we got, you know, the best of the best. They only subbed the good stuff and sent it over here. And some crap. But, you know, whatever was crap was left over there because they said, no one's going to watch this pile of junk. Whereas in modern day, you know, we get the full spectrum. So we, you know, we see the good stuff, we see the okay stuff, and we see the stuff that makes you go, what in God's name are you thinking making that?
So yeah, but see, here's my problem. Now we're getting quantity over quality. And I'm sorry, but I am sick of random moe show number 300 appearing because people think it's good.
That's always been anime's problem. I mean, anime as a genre's biggest issue is it's very fatty. It's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Follows certain trends. You know, every time there's a big hit show, everyone starts copying it. When Evangelion came out, it was a big hit. How many, you know, super realistic, giant robot, end of the world type shows were there? Dozens.
Lots.
When, you know, Azumanga Daioh came out and it was a big hit, how many, you know, slice of life schoolgirl shows did we see? Tons. When K-On! Was a hit. Now we're seeing Moe by the boatloads. Somebody makes a new and, you know, creative idea, you know, that no one's done before. It becomes popular because people like it because they haven't seen something like that before. And then every other studio copies.
My actual argument on this whole thing is that, yes, Jeff, you're right. 10 years ago, we got a dozen shows a year and about 8 of those would have been sort of top-tier, A-plus, must-watch sort of stuff. And all the stuff that got left behind probably wasn't worth watching. But I'm going to make a point that the crap of today is crappier than the crap of 10 years ago.
Agreed.
Because, you know what? As bad as the zillions of Tenchi spinoffs we didn't really see were, they still aren't as bad as all this moe junk that keeps spewing out.
Seriously, K-On!, what the crap? Okay, here's another one. What about that stupid Vocaloid crap?
Vocaloid's not animated. It's a computer program.
No, but I'm just saying that same trend of it. It may not be an anime, but she's freaking everywhere. And everybody's trying to imitate that same sort of character type created by the Vocaloid character. She's still part of that moe crapola that you see.
Hatsune Miku is the beginning of Skynet. No one can see this but me. I don't know why.
No, I agree with you. I'm petrified of her.
100 years from now, we're not going to be fighting Terminators. We're going to be fighting, you know, armies of Hatsune Mikus as they walk across the fields with death lances.
I don't care for that genre, and I don't understand its popularity. Because, you know, I get the perverted aspect of it.
I was going to say, popularity is easy to figure out. It's cute girls wearing little, acting cute, and, you know, over-the-top cuteness, and everything's so cute and cute. You know, after a while, you do kind of get sick of it, but I understand why it becomes popular.
Like I said.
Cute girls, put them in skimpy outfits. We guys are fairly easy to please.
No. I get it. There's things I get about it. At the same time, I have standards as a woman, and I can't stand bimbos, and that's what moe crap is.
Genre.
Oh, yeah. Whenever I see a moe show, I just usually want to shoot myself in the head, because it's like, wow, bimbos. I could just easily go watch an episode of Campus PD. Seriously. There's enough bimbos on that show, at least I get a laugh out of it. Hi, I'm drunk and disorderly. I'd rather watch that than, hi, I'm a cute girl and I'm stupid. No, thank you. Just, no. It's crappy, and the pervertedness of it is just, it just makes it worse. And I'm not gonna lie, I love my perverted shows. I do. Scott can attest to it. I can be really bad with the perverted shows. I can't get into this stuff. Like, at all. And I think that's kind of what steered me away from anime the last couple years, is because once I started to see what was getting popular, the stuff that I was interested in seemed to have lessened and lessened. And I'm so disappointed, because I don't see anything out there right now that just has grabbed my attention and says, you need to watch this. Okay, that's kind of a lie, because I found two shows that I'm slowly watching. But two shows to back when I used to watch, like, 20 at a time? That says something.
Well, what anime needs, and it needs this every couple of years, is a shot in the arm of a new genre, a new show. When, you know, Full Metal Alchemist came out, that was the new big thing, you know. It was unlike anything anybody seen before. It was a new genre, a new show. Everybody loved it. They recycled it again for a new season in Brotherhood, which is just a manga adaptation. But basically, that's just a recycle. You need a new story, a new shot in the arm. And every few years, they release a Gundam show, and that usually does some good.
Well, again, though, for that genre, not everybody's a giant robot nut like we all are. So while
well, they're
it's
wrong.
I'm just saying.
If they're not, they shouldn't be unheard from ever again. So.
Well, like I said, though, I mean, a shot in the arm is good. Depending on the genre, I mean, Gundam is great in that aspect because every couple of years it gets shot in the arm, and it's new and fresh again. It still has its same tropes that everybody loves, but it always tries to do something a little bit different each time it reappears. I'm finding a lot of shows nowadays are not doing that. They put the shot in the arm for the show, and it's like, here's a rehashing of what we've already done. We're just making it prettier. Like Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. Which I didn't watch, because I think I'm one of the only people in the world who doesn't give two shits about Fullmetal Alchemist. I know, I'm a horrible person.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Again, getting back to my reasons.
Okay. I'll let you debate those in your own little world. But anyway, back to what Scott said about the crappiness of today overlapping the crappiness of tomorrow. I think that's more just of, you know, us seeing more crap. I mean, truthfully, how much of the really bad anime have we seen? From, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Most of it's, you know, thrown away, burned, never seen again. Nobody ever brings it up because nobody cares.
These days,
every show that comes out in Japan, you can watch it the very next day online. Every single show from the old staples like your Bleach, your Naruto, your One Piece, to, you know, the crap that nobody cares about, like, you know, Ladies versus Butlers or other some nonsense that nobody cares about.
I'll say, oh, Jeff, you never watched Steel Angel Kurumi, did you?
Yes, I have.
Oh, good.
Believe it or not, I actually have the DVD set.
Okay, because I actually have it, too. You know, it's
I bought a 20-inch clearance at Best Buy.
It was one of those shows where, okay, I'm throwing it out there. It's stupid.
Of course it is. But it
stupidest
doesn't
thing pretend. Ever. But it's so fun to watch.
I like those shows that, you know, they've They sit and they realize, yes, this is a stupid show. Yes, the plot is ridiculous. But we're not going to try and pretend it's, you know, the most serious thing on Earth. We're going to, you know, put it out there at face value, say, here's what we're doing. It's pretty goofy and stupid. Hope you enjoy it. Whereas some shows say, here's what we're doing. It's pretty and goofy and stupid, but take it seriously, damn you.
I wish more anime was online with, you know, Kurumi in that regard, where it's like, it's purposely stupid, and you watch it just for the mind-numbing hilarity of what goes on. I'm finding a lot of the shows that are coming out now that are trying to be funny want you to take it seriously. And it makes me sort of sad. Like, I feel like I should be watching, what is it, Hetalia?
Yeah, Hetalia.
Because that's one of the cases where that probably falls in the Kurumi category. Where it's like, it's so stupid, yet everybody loves it. Because it's, you don't need to take it seriously. Although Canada should totally have a suck puppet and, you know, Tim Horton's donuts, but it doesn't.
It's a Japanese webcomic. Don't expect him to know too much about what Canada's like now.
I'm just saying, I always think back to Andrea's costume. Because her version of Canada was totally a sock puppet. And Tim Hortons. And a hockey jersey.
Well, come on, that's the Canada stereotype. Every Canadian plays hockey, lives, breathes, and dies hockey.
I don't, but yeah, true. I'll give you that.
Let's do a test. The starting goalie for the St. Louis Blues is...
I don't know.
See, I just broke the stereotype.
Felix Potvin.
No, Yaroslav Halak. Moving on.
Felix Potvin hasn't played for like 6 years.
That's why I said it. I only know of one goalie, okay? And he's a really sexy goalie from the Canucks. What's his face there?
What's his face there? Yeah. Well, I can tell what you're looking at.
I forgot his name.
That really sexy goalie. What's his face there? Is that spelled with a W or a
is
W-H?
It's like Lou something. Oh, this is going to bother me the whole evening. It's going to come up when it's not important anymore.
Actually, the last goalie I really paid attention to was a couple years back playing for the Calgary Flames was Michel Huet. I believe that's his name. And this was when Calgary actually had a serious shot at the cup, and their goalie was a black guy. And I'm like, whoa. Since when do brothers play hockey?
They do. They do play hockey.
I know, it's just... It's not typical. And I get that he's French-Canadian, but still, there's a certain point where race has to trump Cation.
Scott?
Yeah?
You're not helping the hockey stereotype right now.
I suppose not, but coming into another trend that I just can't stand in new anime, that sort of touches on the moe junk, is the phrase, based on a visual novel. Like, you can set up a premise for when Japanator and ANN do their quarterly previews for all the new shows. I'll be reading along and looking at all the premises, and then somewhere in the paragraph will be that phrase. And immediately, I know I don't have to look at this show ever.
Oh,
because
Scott.
It's going to be lame as all get out.
Scott, do you remember that phase when, like, we had Canon, Air, and Clannad all come out.
And then Canon got remade.
And then Canon got remade, and it was like, ew.
Yeah.
Like, the show was popular the first time. I fell asleep through half the episodes for all of these.
I didn't mind Canon. I thought it was all right.
I fell asleep during Canon, but I hate... Again, the show has all the stereotypes of female characters that I absolutely hate.
Well, sure, anime reinforces those stereotypes. I mean, how many tough, you know, anime girls out there? How many, you know, rough and tough, nasty anime girls have you ever seen?
Hawkeye from Fullmetal Alchemist. She's badass.
But she was still, you know, supermodel beautiful.
I'm trying to think if I can... What about Mitzi from Shin-Chan? I love her.
Yeah, but that's an old show.
Yeah.
Aw, yeah, I guess that doesn't count.
They reinforce the stereotype. Anime does that where... Everyone in anime is beautiful. Find me an ugly person in anime that isn't a villain or isn't dead.
Or isn't a joke character about how ugly they are.
Right. I mean, a lot of the complaints people have about anime is just the genre itself. Like, if you're complaining about, they reinforce stereotypes. I'm like, yeah, it's anime. What were you expecting?
Oh, yeah, maybe she counts, too, as reinforcing a stereotype. I was going to say, like, Nanami Jinai from El Hazard, because she's not beautiful or anything, but she's sort of the plain Jane character, so she's reinforcing a stereotype. But she was the only one that came to my mind. I think I'm the only one here who's watched El Hazard.
Probably. I've never seen it.
El Hazard was the better version of Tenshi Muyu.
No, that was Nadesco.
I like that show, too.
Because, you know what Tenshi Muyu needed? Giant robots.
I don't know, wouldn't Ryuoki count as a giant robot? Turns into from a little rabbit to a giant flying robot thing?
Yeah, but that was only occasionally. There was a giant robot fight in every other episode of Nadesco.
Good point.
I like robots.
See, I have proof. Chicks dig giant robots.
Exactly. Actually, over on RP Gamer, apparently that theory is refuted because Becky says she doesn't like giant robots.
She doesn't, though, and neither does Anna. And neither does Noodle. I'm the only one, the only female staff member who likes robots.
Damn.
I am alone. See, I have to deal with a girl who loves Kirby, girl who likes other hot Bishonen things, and girl who likes old men as protagonists in RPGs.
Well, you know what? Old men are a nice change of pace in JRPGs.
And there's not that many, sadly. Yuri's one, though. I like Yuri.
He's 19.
Yuri is not 19 in Vesperia.
Yeah, I think he is.
No, he's 24. He's older than most protagonists.
He looks like he's 19.
No, he looks like he's 19. He's
just on
older.
The upper edge of the competence zone with Commander Shiro.
Because, like, there's two adult protagonists in Vesperia, because there's also Raven. And Raven's, like, 30 with his awesome plot twist of doom that I actually know about. But we're not talking about Tails, so let's not go there.
That's for another podcast.
That's for another episode.
Hey,
for
Tails.
A different show entirely, because, yeah.
In any case, I don't know what it is. Maybe, you know, I've outgrown the whole gender stereotype thing. Because I have gotten a lot more picky as I've gotten older about shows that I watch. Mostly because I really can't stand watching shows where women are portrayed as pathetic or so naive that they're borderline stupid. I really can't handle that anymore. Like, if it's done tastefully, like in Azumanga Daioh with Osaka, then yeah, I have a blast. But that's because she's also playing on a different kind of stereotype that's not just kind of stupid, slow-talking girl.
Think different girl.
Well, her whole thing is she's also playing on the cultural stereotype of being someone from Osaka. So if you know anything about Osakan culture, she's a lot more funny because of just those certain aspects that they play into. As much as, like, I bitch about women, Azumanga Daioh is one of the few shows where I actually adore the entire cast. But that's because they don't take the stereotypical roles seriously, because that's not the point of the show. The point is about slice of life, fun times at school, which works for me. Sometimes I don't mind the odd stereotype. Like, there's one show in particular that came out a couple years back that I really liked, and I still read the manga for it, which is Nana. And Scott can attest to Nana, because he loves it just as much as I do. The two main female characters are pretty stereotypical. You have super cute girl who's kind of a bimbo and gets herself into really awful situations. And then you have super hot girl who wants to be a punk rock star but has a dark, shady past. But what makes Nana kind of fun is that Nana is one of the most humanistic animes you'll probably ever watch, because all the situations the characters get into are things that people can relate to. You know, teen pregnancy, suicide, that sort of thing. You know, and these characters are very human, which is what I really, really adore about Aizawa's work. And the anime does a really good job of this. What I don't like is that a lot of animes, especially when they're centered around girls in particular, forget the humanistic quality.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
I hate that. I want some sense of humanity in it, which is also kind of why I liked Yoko in Gurren Lagann. I didn't like her at first, but once I started to watch the show more and see how she developed, she became the sort of female character that I was like, you know what? I like you because you're very human.
Also, Sam can't resist the hot for teacher look.
No, I really can't. Like, I'm guilty as charged there. The reality is, I want characters that I can relate to, and I want characters to have a human quality about them. I don't want them to be something that is so shallow that I just want to smack my head against the desk.
What you mentioned really makes me think, because think about the three animes you were just talking about. Azumanga Daioh, Nanoha, and Gurren Lagann. All three of those were kind of a broad-based anime. You know, they weren't focusing on a certain group of fans. You know, I know lots of anime fans who can't stand Mecha, but they love Gurren Lagann. I like you know, lots of anime fans who can't stand the slice of light junk, but they love Azumanga Daioh. Those are broad-based fans. The shows that drive you nuts, you know, your Canons, your K-Ones, your other moe stuff. I don't know if Haruhi Suzumiya falls in that category, because I like that, but that's
I'm
kind
sort of half and half on Haruhi, by the way. I have one thing about Haruhi that I absolutely hate about it, though.
Mikuru?
I love Mikuru. I hate Haruhi.
Really?
I hate how Haruhi treats. It bothers me beyond belief how much I hate the way that Mikuru is handled in the show. I like everybody else. Haruhi actually makes me angry, and I don't find her funny. But I find everybody else funny.
Well, that's kind of the goal, is to get you put you in Kyon's shoes and see what his view is. But anyway, back to what I was saying, the broad spectrum, where you look at, you know, shows like K-On! And so forth, those are more focused on guys. And guys, I'm sorry, we're not that deep. I wish we were, but we're not. Show us, you know, a funny skit with a cute girl wearing very little clothing, we're amused. I wish it was deeper than that, but it's not. Come on, back me up, Scott.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you on a lot of things. Well, one thing I think Sam sort of mentioned earlier is maybe part of the problem isn't even that what's coming out, is that we're getting old, our tastes are getting refined, and we're getting pickier about things. Like, when we started out as fans a bajillion years ago, we would watch anything you put in front of us. And not only because there was very little to be had, so we had to watch what we could get. I'm not sure how many copies of mediocre shows of the late 90s sold just because, oh my god, it's anime!
Right.
But how much of it is us just getting older and wanting something more from our entertainment?
Well, I'm sure that's part of it. I mean,
because I know Sam's dropped a lot of, come to regret some of her shows of her youth.
I have one or two, yes.
Well, hindsight's always 20/20, you know. When you first, I don't know about you, but when I first saw, you know, Tenchi Muyo, Gundam Wing, first anime shows, Outlaw Star, back on the old Toonami days, I know you don't have Toonami up there in the Great White North, but when I look back at those shows, you know, back when they were coming out, I was like, this is amazing! Wow, look at this! You know, you're shocked about, you know, and there's so much more anime to see, and you're like, it's all going to be just this good! And, you know, you dive headfirst into it, and you quickly realize, no, you got the cream of the crop. There's a lot of crap out there, too. So as you wade your way through it, you kind of realize, you know, from that initial high of, wow, this is so great, to, okay, it's not all as great as we thought it was. And as you get older and learn, it's a lot harder to find the good stuff, you know, the good shows. We become a lot pickier and we get old and crotchety.
See, I think my thing is, I've been old and crotchety from the start. And
Sam, don't lie. You giggle like a schoolgirl over a lot of things that are bad.
No, I admit.
Prince of Tennis.
You leave Prince of Tennis alone. That was a dark day. That was a dark period of my life.
Oh, no.
Beyblade.
Beyblade. Oh, tell me you weren't a fan of Beyblade.
Sam.
I might let you slide on, but Beyblade.
I was, but it was only mostly.
Oh, no.
No.
There has never been a worse anime for toy sales than Beyblade.
See, no. The thing about Beyblade was more of the stupidness of the show. A friend of mine and I, we would watch it purposely because we just thought the show was so stupid. We just were like, oh my god, these boys are so silly. Look at how, like, upset they get over spinning top. That's not what I was going to go to before Scott
stupid.
Brings that
up. Yeah, but that's a show that once, you know, is really stupid, but they want you to take it seriously. look how serious this battle is.
Oh, I know, but that's the problem with shonen shows. That's the problem with shonen shows, though, is that they all function the same, especially the tournament-style shows. They're all like, oh, this is so super serious, but it's so dumb that you're just kind of like, hee-hee-hee, so stupid. No, what I was going to say before Scott cut me off is that when I was growing up, I watched a lot of anime as a kid, but I watched it in Italian. So my knowledge of stuff that I watched when I was a lot younger really dates back to a lot of shows that came out in the 80s. And I enjoyed, like, a lot of those shows immensely. Like, I don't know how many of you have heard of The Rose of Versailles. I loved that show as a child. Brother Dear Brother, loved it as a child. And those shows were very serious in what they were trying to accomplish, especially because they were shows with strong female protagonists, lots of action and adventure, but very, very difficult subject lines, subjects to talk about in them. So I grew up with that kind of a standard, because that was what I grew up watching. I know for me, I have a little bit of a different childhood compared to some other people in terms of what I watched. And then I got to watch, like, the crap like Beyblade and stuff and realized that it was like, wow, there's this too? Awesome.
Sam, I hate to be mean, but I just lost a lot of respect for you. Beyblade? Good God.
It was the Beyblade theme song. It was so catchy. It's Beyblade.
Just stop. 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 Stop.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
I'm going to go cry now. Excuse me.
It's exactly what Scott said. I mean, you know, I've gotten older. My taste has definitely been a lot more refined. Being a lot older, I have a harder time finding things that I'm interested in. Well, and I've only found 3 shows maybe in the last 4 years that I've actually gotten excited over and wanted to watch, which that to me is not a good sign in terms of my interest in anime.
Well, part of the problem is really anime, what we talk about anime is, you know, a ageless genre in Japan, and for some extent it is, but the focus is still on, you know, kids, teenagers. Beyond that, you got some shows that are more focused towards adult, but the core is still teenagers. So, you know, a lot of shows are focused at kids, and us in our old crotchety age just aren't interested in them anymore, so the bulk of that stuff just, you know, isn't interesting to us.
No, absolutely, I agree with you. I mean, you know, the last show I think I got into was what, Scott, Darker Than Black?
Yeah, well, you also haven't been looking for anything. Like, I've suggested things to you, and we still haven't gotten around to watching too many of them.
That's the other thing. My patience for TV has also sort of died. I don't really like watching TV as much anymore.
Another question I did want to bring up is, maybe the stuff we liked 10 years ago isn't as good as we think.
Lies, bullshit.
No, there's some stuff that's definitely not as good as we remember.
I'm joking, by the way.
I mean, back in the day, I thought Tenchi Muyo was the coolest thing ever. I thought, wow, this is great, this is awesome. And now looking back at it, it's like, this is just Japanese Star Wars.
And
I hear you on that.
How many of us watched Love, Hina?
I did.
And liked it.
I quickly realized Love, Hina the first time through. I enjoyed the manga, but TV show the first time through was like, man, this is crap. I was able to tell it was crap from the get-go.
You are a smart man, Jeff. I was not.
And there's definitely things on my DVD shelf that I bought ages ago that are definitely classics. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that Cowboy Bebop is one of the most genius pieces of media produced, and the same Evangelion, overhyped it as it is sort of a milestone for the medium.
Don't let Neo hear you say that.
Ah.
I agree with that sentiment. As much as Evangelion is the most overhyped thing ever, there's something incredibly impressive about the show that it just mindfucks with you.
Yeah.
But you like the mindfuckery, and you want to know why it's fucking with your brain. And
then you go off and get a degree in comparative religion and realize.
Yeah. The thing about Evangelion, I don't want to get off too much tangent here, but say what you want about it. Is it the most hyped up anime ever? Yes. Is it the most oversold anime with all the crap that Gainax puts out? You better believe it is. Did it change the anime industry? You bet it did.
Oh, yeah.
There's a handful of shows, the day they came out, everything changed. The rules changed. Cowboy Bebop was one. Evangelion was one. Mobile Suit Gundam was one.
Gundam was kind of debatable, Jeff, in North America.
No, Gundam changed the way mech shows worked in Japan.
No, Japan, yes. I was going to say, if we're going to look at North America...
We're talking about North America, yeah.
North America, debatable point. Japan, abso-freaking-lutely.
Right. Well, Evangelion, here in America, did it really have that huge an impact outside the anime community? Not really. Cowboy Bebop, that, you know, casual fans who barely watch anime at all, or some people who don't even watch anime. My dad caught the Cowboy Bebop movie on the cable one time. He was like, "Hey, what's this show, Cowboy Bebop?" I'm like, "What?" I'm like, I saw a movie. I really liked it. Do you have the series?" That's the one and only time my father has asked to borrow one of my anime sets.
Actually, that's funny about Dad's liking that particular show, because my dad watched it with me, and he enjoyed it quite a bit.
Well, it's an American action movie in cartoon form.
He watched the whole series, so I was kind of proud of him for that.
Like, Cowboy Bebop was such a Western-oriented show, just because of the way it played on action movie tropes, that I think I can credit a lot of success to that, and a lot of it to just being really good at characterization.
Right, they're making the live-action movie with Keanu Reeves. If there's going to be a live-action anime that works, it might be that, because aside from the animation, it's already a live-action Western movie.
Yeah.
The only downfall of that project is Keanu Reeves wanting to be Spike Spiegel.
I don't know. He's a big anime fan. I this is one of those things I'll trust him with it. Because he really worked, you know, he said, "I want to do Cowboy Bebop. I want to be Spike." He went to Japan. He begged. He pleaded. He, you know, greased some palms. He did what he had to do. For a man to work this hard to do something he wants to do, I'm going to give him a little leeway and see what he can come up with.
Oh, no, that part I have no issue with. It's his acting skills.
People always bash his acting skills. Aside from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, what was so horrible about his acting career?
Constantine.
If you look at Keanu Reeves' movies, whenever he's bad, it's bad writing.
Yeah, Constantine, I didn't think that was a too horrible movie. It wasn't, you know, anything mind-blowingly awesome, but...
I don't know. He just rubs me the wrong way. I've never really
been a
Keanu fan.
The problem with Constantine is that it's not a really good version of Constantine. Yes, the comic gets pronounced with that hard I. That's how wrong they got the movie.
They couldn't pronounce it right.
It's like they failed pronunciation and got worse from there.
I see. As I said, I'm trying to be open-minded about that particular project. And I will stay open-minded about it. It's just Keanu Reeves and I don't know what it is about him. His acting has always just kind of bothered me a little bit. Maybe it's like his slow deadpan, I'm not really acting deal. Other than Bill and Ted, I still love him in that.
Well, he was
hard not to.
Again, he was also good in Something's Gotta Give.
I've never seen that movie.
It's good. It's Jack Nicholson. It's fun.
I do like Jack Nicholson. I may have to watch it at some point.
We spent a lot of time bashing on things, but we've also mentioned that there have been good new shows. So do we want to do sort of a Hall of Fame anime from the past 4 or 5 years?
Okay, Jeff, go first.
Oh, lay it on me, thanks. You got to put Gurren Lagann in there, because that's one of those, like I said, general anime fans who don't watch Mecha, watch Gurren Lagann. You know, it came out and it was kind of a broad sweeping. It did a really good job of, you know, hitting every little stereotype of anime and making some new stuff along the way. And it's one of those shows, if you pick out one episode and show it to a person, you're like, you'll see, what the hell is this? This doesn't make any sense. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But if you watch the series as a whole, it's a really great series. And it's one of those shows that's more than the sum of its parts.
I am a jaded, cynical man. That show makes me believe in the power of friendship and my own abilities and humanity as a whole.
Scott?
Yeah?
Believe in the me that believes in you.
Oh, yeah. I do. I will pierce those effing heavens.
With your drill.
With my drill.
You won't mention what the drill is, but moving on.
The drill is my soul.
You say so.
Sam?
I'm trying to think of one that's come out in the last 4 years that I've enjoyed. I guess Nana, for me, would be the big one, because I watched that religiously when it came out on the fan subs. Like, every week it came out, I downloaded it, I watched it, and then I'd cry to Scott about how much I hated something that would happen in it, and then Scott would be like, you know what? I hate... What's the guy?
Takumi.
Oh, yes, Takumi. It was always, stupid Takumi, he's such a douchebag, he got her pregnant, he sucks, and... you know, we would bitch about this for hours, but it's because we love the character so much that it was like, oh, this is a horrible thing to be happening. What's going to happen next week? Like our weekly dose of smut that we just couldn't get enough of.
I want to be just
really good
as
story,
cool
but...
as Yasu, but I don't want to be bald.
Exactly. So that would definitely be my pick for the last 4 years, let's just say. God.
There's a few series every year that I just enjoy. The problem is that I don't seem to find out about them till about 9 months after they're done. Which might be a better way to find out. Like, when something gets licensed and the DVDs hit North America and everyone's still excited, that's usually a good sign. Like, Bakano just knocked my socks off. Had how much fun that was, and how good it was at telling its own story. And Durarara looks to be the same. I'm only a few episodes into that, because I'm kind of slow some days. Another thing I liked is, I liked the first season of Haruhi Suzumiya. I really did.
I know you did. You made me watch it.
Season 2, I like Season 2, but, you know, it's one of those things that got better over time as opposed to worse. When I first watched The Endless Eight Disaster, which is probably the most hated arc of any anime series in the past 20 years of anime, I was like, my God, what are you doing? Why are you wasting time? What is this? But I got Season 2 on DVD, and after I watched it again, it wasn't spectacular, but it wasn't as bad as I remembered it.
There was an interview with the dub actors talking about Endless Eight, and there were a lot of ideas kicked around before they did recording about what they would do with those episodes that I really wish had happened. Like, there was talk of them doing, like, silly accents for one episode, or everyone reading one character to the left so you'd have Johnny Bosch playing Kyon for an episode. And none of that happened. That would have been amusing.
Well, it would have been fun if they did that in the animation, too. Like, just one random episode, throw in a gender switch. You know, have Kyon a girl and have Haruhi a guy, just randomly. Run the episode exactly the same, but switch the genders around.
What else have I watched that was fun? I really liked Ride Back. No one else seems to have heard of it.
Scott, you might want
Ride Back?
No clue.
It's a giant robot show.
With ballerinas, isn't it?
In a not-too-distant future, we have transforming motorcycles that turn into, like, little bipedal robot things. And the story is about a ballerina who injured her ankles and can't dance anymore, finding these things and falling in love with the way they move. And then she joins a terrorist organization.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's what you do when you fall in love with a robot. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, there's four episodes where it's just sort of, like, Initial D with transforming motorcycles. And then it turns out that part of the setting is that there's this malignant organization that's taken over most of the world's government, and that a few friends who are also in this transforming motorcycle enthusiast club are anti-government terrorists, and she ends up being associated with them, and they kill one of her friends, and she's like, that's no good, we're gonna rebel and do all this crazy stuff.
I still want to watch that show, actually, Scott, at some point, because I'm kind of sold on the premise.
Beats the hell out of Basquatch.
There's another show that one shot, you know, one screenshot told me I wasn't gonna watch. Giant transforming car that dunks basketballs. Done.
As cool as giant robots are, they can't save sports series.
No.
There's nothing that can save that.
What was that anime series Cartoon Network produced? The
IGPX?
Oh, yeah. That was one of those good animation, it looks cool, but bad writing and bad premise.
Yeah.
Who went with IGPX as opposed to another season of The Big O? What the hell?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Also, Scott, what about Eden of the East?
Eden of the East was a lot of fun. I got to track down the follow-up movies, because that show was a really awesome psychological thriller thing.
I got that show on Amazon wishlist. I've been debating whether I want to get it or not, but all I've heard is good things about it.
You know what? It's streaming on Funimation's site. Check it out.
I'll have to.
See, I can't think of a lot of things in the past 4 years that have gotten me excited, truthfully, Scott. Like, if we go back a little bit further, like, I remember when I watched Princess Tutu, and I was completely blown away by it. But Princess Tutu falls in the category of no one really watched it, even though it was, like, the most amazing thing ever. And it was about ballerinas.
And ducks.
And believe it or not, Jeff, because I'm sure you're probably, like, eyebrowing me right now, this show's actually incredibly dark, if you've never seen it. It's not cutesy, like the title sounds. It's a really, really dark and kind of creepy show.
Sam?
Yeah?
You just scared the hell out of me. You have a camera in this room? I was doing the eyebrow thing as soon as you said it. I was like, okay, that's really friggin' creepy.
No, I don't have a camera. I just took a wild guess. No, I highly recommend Princess Tutu. It's one of my favorite games. One of my favorite shows I've watched in the last little while. Also, Ergo Proxy was another one I really, really liked that I watched, and sort of it broke my brain, but I enjoyed watching it all the way through. Which, again, I might be alone on watching that one. Because, Scott, I don't think you finished it.
No. I'm one episode down. I will watch more in the future.
We'll just have to steal them from Ashley.
Yeah, something like that.
I'll throw one more out there. This isn't exactly 5 years ago, at least in terms of real time, but in terms of American, North American time, this kind of qualifies, especially considering how often Funimation re-releases it. Eh. It may be silly. Looking back on it, it may be kind of stupid in some places, but at the end of the day, it's a whole lot of fun to see two guys flying around beating the crap out of each other. Everybody's got to love some DBZ.
Yay! That show made me laugh.
When you first watch DBZ, it's one of those, you keep your nostalgia, you look back at DBZ and you're like, my God, that was silly and stupid. But you still love it. It's over the top, it's corny, but you still love it.
And it takes 20 episodes to kill Frieza. Maybe even more.
Well, Kai has fixed that a bit.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying. Like, we all remember watching the epically long Frieza arc and going, when is he going to kill Frieza? When is that attack going to finish charging? But we kept watching because we kept thinking, you know, this will be the week where it happens.
In 5 minutes, Namek's going to blow up.
11 episodes later.
It's going to blow up any minute, I swear.
But that's the thing. We were all on the edge of our seats each week watching that show because of stuff like that. Because it would be like, oh, this is going to be the week where he finally blows up. And then it didn't happen. It's like, okay, maybe it's next week.
Well, part of that is Cartoon Network. They didn't have the entire series done. Gainax stopped at a certain point and said, okay, this isn't selling. Mainly because they had it at a crappy time slot and they didn't advertise it very well. But, you know, all those years of Cartoon Network had up to a certain episode, and they, you know, zip back to the beginning, and they kept repeating that same time, so we kept saying, what happens next? We never get to find out what happens next. And then finally one day it said, new episodes of DBZ. From then till the end of the series, we were hooked.
That was the weird thing. Like, Saban sort of pulled funding in America around, what, the Jace fight, right? Something like that. We had a different problem in Canada because we got a completely separate dub that gave us the genius that was over 9,000. And that thing just had a lot of fits and bursts when it started. We got up to the middle of a Cybermen fight, stopped for 6 months, got to the end of Frieza, stopped again, and for about a year, and then we got rolling the rest of the series.
Really? That's odd.
Yeah.
What we had in North America was it started with the episode one, went all the way to the Raccoon fight, go back. And it just kept that arc, you know, starts at the beginning, goes to Raccoon, and all of a sudden we're back at episode one again. And then, you know, one summer they said, okay, we're going to start it over from episode one, but we promise once we get to this episode, new episodes will start. We were like, you know, we were like begging for new episodes. And then when finally they said, new episodes starting. You know, and then they all started and every voice actor was different. But we didn't care. New episodes.
You know, now that I'm thinking about anime and stuff that I enjoyed, I think my peak period was all the stuff between, I think it was like 2000 and like 2004. Because that's where a lot of my favorite shows came from, like Full Metal Panic, which I still believe is like one of the greatest animes ever made. And I can watch it all the time, and I still giggle at the same bits. And another favorite of mine, which is also a mech show, Gun Parade March, which I don't know how many of you have seen it, but it was a pretty damn awesome show. And it gets no love whatsoever. Think Valkyria Chronicles, if you've played that. That was what Gun Parade March is. So that was like
Valkyria Chronicles anime. It aired last year. I was hoping somebody would pick it up. It didn't look like anyone will.
If anyone picks it up, this is going to sound so weird. It'll probably be Sega. Sega will do something with it. It's either that or it's going to be one of the other small niche companies like NIS America. Because NIS America this year started to publish anime and they picked up the video game adaptation for Persona Trinity Soul, and they brought that out. And now they're bringing out another weird show called Working, and it looks really fun. So there is a chance that it will come out, Jeff. It's just, I think it's going to be someone like NIS America or Sega.
I was kind of hoping Section 23, the living remains of ADV, would pick it up, because all they do is sub stuff. They don't employ any voice actors, and that's the kind of show you could put out there with just subs, and few people who would want it would buy it.
No, I think the people, the fans of the games, would want the English voice actors from the dub of the game back.
Because it's one of the few games that's actually very good. The dubbing, the voice acting is actually one of the more phenomenal bits of the game. Like, it's, from what I understand, I haven't played a lot of it, but I love the voice acting in the game from what I heard. The gameplay is amazing. And it's one of those games that, you know what, an anime adaptation was probably a good thing for it. Unlike all those Tales games that got adaptations and were so horrible that I kind of cried but watched them all anyways. Yeah. But Valkyria, yeah. Like, I'm kind of with you, Jeff. I don't know why it hasn't been picked up. But there's a potential possibility still. It's still pretty new enough that someone might pick it up. I mean, there's petitions on the NISA board anyways for people to pick it up.
Yeah, because Aaron...
Like, NISA, get this for us.
Internet petitions just go great.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, the NISA public relations.
Well, actually,
the forum, and
I am getting a DVD release of Turn A Gundam, so must be doing something.
Yeah,
I was gonna say sometimes it works, Scott.
That was some kind of parallel dimension rift. I'm still like in utter belief when you say there will be a American release of Turn A Gundam. I'm like, what the hell?
And it's going to be like...
Who made a deal with the devil? I'm serious.
Yeah. It's not... It's going to be a no-frills, no-dub, just here's a pile of episodes in a box release. But that's all you really want.
Yeah, I was like...
I'm so happy.
I wasn't shocked at all when they said no-dub, but I was totally blown away and shocked when they said they're actually going to make it. When I saw it on Bandai's, I was like, this has got to be faked. Someone hacked into Bandai's Twitter account. This ain't real.
I know.
And I said, no, we're actually doing it. We're really doing it. I'm like, really?
No jokes? I know. I love and will need to finish at some point Turn A Gundam.
Butterfly Wings of Death.
Butterfly Wings of Death. I need to finish actually a lot of Gundam shows, sadly. But I've enjoyed every single one I've watched so far. Though currently my favorite is G Gundam, if only for its stupidity and racism.
Well, you want stupidity. Scott, you got G-Savior?
No.
Oh.
I watched it once.
I got a copy of it here. I'll have to mail it to you just so I can have Sam watch it, just so I can hear her reaction.
No, it's not my favorite Gundam show, but it's the one I've watched recently that's still fresh in my mind, and it made me laugh so much. Like, I don't think I wasn't ever not laughing during that show. We'd be eating dinner, and all of a sudden, like, something stupid would happen, be like, oh, Domonkashu, I feel sorry for you because you're so dumb.
Look,
I loved
him. East is burning red.
I love Master Asia. I want Master Asia to be my creepy grandfather. I want, like, him in an old man club or something.
Oh, Lord.
I love him.
Scott?
Yeah?
She's scaring me.
She does that sometimes. She gets attached to the weirdest characters.
I do not. What's wrong with me liking Master Asia?
This from the lady who said she liked Beyblade, alright?
Yeah.
I'm not going to let that Beyblade thing go. You shouldn't have told me that. I'm going to have that on you for the rest of your life.
I'm sorry.
That's one of those things you keep secret. I can't believe you haven't killed Scott for telling me.
I won't, because he's accepted it. And it doesn't bother me that much.
Give it time.
I block it from my memory in most cases. I forget that I actually enjoyed it some days. And then I see my friend Janine, and she brings it up again. It's like, oh, Neen, you're 30 years old, and you love Beyblade.
It doesn't help that it's back on TV now.
Oh, I know, and she's been so happy ever since. Aw, Beyblade. Such a stupid show.
What else was stupid when we were kids and loved it? Digimon? Digimon was pretty stupid.
I love Digimon and Pokemans. I love both.
What about Monster Rancher?
I didn't like that show. That show was stupid.
Didn't like Digimon, didn't like Monster Rancher. I admit to watching Pokemon just because I enjoyed the game.
Okay, I have a confession. I totally used to watch Pokemon with my mom, and she loved it just as much as I did. My mom even admits to having a favorite Pokemon. And when she talks to my nephew about Pokemon, he makes fun of her because her favorite Pokemon is Squirtle.
Oh, did you hear they announced the names of the English names of the starters?
And I'm not happy. I have no Smugleaf and no Baconator, so I'm going to have to rename them both.
Baconator?
I wanted to name the pig Baconator. That was my name for the pig. That's what I was, like, rallying behind. He is Tepig.
Tepig?
Which is, like, a play on Trepid.
So now I'm hungry. I need to get some bacon.
And on that note, any final thoughts?
I want good anime to watch. I want Shin-Chan back on, stupid Hulu. Give me my show.
I can't help it if the creator died. Give it a break.
Well, no, it's not that. It's more of just, like, I'd been watching all of it with Scott, and then Hulu took it away from me. And ever since then, I've been very, very bitter.
That and Funimation only made, like, the 50-odd episodes, and their cut of it is just amazing.
It's the best show I've watched in a very long time. I adore it. I do. I giggle like a schoolgirl when I watch Shin-Chan. And there's some jokes in that show that I shouldn't laugh at, but I do. Like Penny and her mother and the whole being an abused daughter and mother. I shouldn't laugh at that, but they just make it so funny. Or Mitzi. Everything that happens to Mitzi is just amazing. Have you been stealing funds from my boob job jar? Yes. And Hima. Hima's the best character ever. Because she likes magazines. What she does with the magazines is even better, by the way.
Scott?
Yeah?
She's scaring me again.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Am I really that scary?
Compared to what?
I don't know.
Oh, another one I actually liked from a few years back was Ouran High School. I know that was pointless, but I did like it.
I'm trying to think of a show that I liked that it's kind of obscure. Fortunately, I'm not that, you know. I like the Oh My Goddess, the seasons 1 and 2. That was a lot of fun. I always enjoyed the mangas, and I was really upset that there wasn't a season 3. There was so much stuff they could have done.
Well, Mini Goddesses was sort of like a season 3.
No, it wasn't.
No, he's talking about the recent Oh My Goddess shows. Not,
I've only seen the really old OVAs and the Mini Goddesses. I didn't realize they made a new show. See how out of the loop I am?
No, they did 2 shows, and the complaint was they followed the manga almost to the letter. Yeah. They're like, well, we want something new and different. I'm like, why? The manga was great. Why do you have to screw with it?
Did the was the artist still the same for the new one? Like, was that, because the guy who makes Oh My, yeah, the character artist, because the guy who makes Oh My Goddess, he did Sakura Wars, which I loved.
No, it was a new character design, because the way Bell Dandy and some of the characters looked were a lot different from the manga, but the way, like, Erd looked was 100% copy, carbon copy, no changes.
Okay.
Well, part of that is that the character designs for Oh My Goddess in the manga changed volume to volume. Like, there was a really rapid development in the artist on that series.
Well, all mangas are like that, you know. You look at Love Hina, Volume 1. By the time you get to the end of the series, they don't look anything like what they first did. Genshiken's real bad about that, you know. In the first volume of Genshiken, all the characters look completely different from what they look like when it's all said and done.
Genshiken's another recent one I liked. But that's a little older, I think.
I liked the manga. I didn't care for the anime as much. Just because it was so short, really.
They did do the follow-up season.
Yeah, but
also short.
I'm kind of excited they announced they're going to do Genshiken 2 in manga.
I've only seen random episodes of that show, sadly.
Kind
of
like the three of us, if we were a whole lot geekier. I mean, a whole lot.
I'm really freaking geeky. What are you talking about?
No, not compared to the people in Genshiken. We're like, you know.
Tame?
Normal, you know, yeah, tame doesn't do us justice. I mean, we don't live, breathe, and die anime, although I'm not one to say that, being surrounded by master grades, so I'll shut up.
Yeah.
I don't make fun of you people and your model kit building ways.
Damn right you don't.
I think it's a very cool hobby, and if I had, you know, steady fingers and not arthritis, I would be all over that. I don't have patience, though, so I just watch Scott do it instead and find more joy out of that.
And Janelle,
I think that's really all we can say on the subject for tonight. New anime. Kind of lame, but still worth keeping an eye on.
Lies.
Well, I didn't learn anything from that discussion.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside. Released under a Creative Commons license. Check out our website at sbopodcast.blogspot.com. Check us out on Twitter at sbopodcast or our Facebook page at I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside. Or kick me an email at sbopodcast@gmail.com.